So as we begin a new church year, the message when you begin anything is, where is it heading? Where is it going? If you don't have that, you have pretty much a sense of meaninglessness, or history has no direction. And so this reading is put at the beginning of the church year, even though it's a bit of a strange one, to say that history is not going to end with a disaster, but with something good. So the trajectory is toward life. Now the symbol of that is the return of Christ. In other words, it's not going to end with apocalypse or Armageddon or huge destruction, which is what most people fear. But just as is mentioned with Noah and the ark, salvation. But I'm sure most of us probably don't hear it that way. It's hard not to hear this reading as a threat. Like Santa Claus is going to come, but with coal and not with presents. Darn it. It's unfortunate that we really so often read religious texts in terms of God threatening us. I don't know if that's because that's the form of our literature, mystery novels or science fiction or horror stories, but we're always looking out for the signals of disaster. And I'd like to say that isn't the point of this reading, although it's hard not to hear it that way. So the good thing about the gospel, read widely and deeply, is that it can be and should be read on at least two levels. First, what is the message for history? And that I tried to just allude to. But secondly, what is the message for the individual? So, historically we're saying, history is going somewhere good. The Christ will return in glory and take us with him. And so we don't need to be afraid. If history does not have hope, it's very hard for individuals to have hope. And I think that's a lot of the hopelessness in our country right now. That the whole thing looks hopeless, and so it's hard for individuals to wake up each day bright and bushy-tailed and knowing where they are going. But let's look at the other level, the message of hope for the individual. Now again, unless you've had a lot of time, and unfortunately or fortunately I have had, and most of us don't, this looks like God again returning as a thief in the night, and we should have been prepared. But if you look at all four of the Gospels, this is actually a somewhat common image for God. A burglar, a thief, an unexpected landlord returning when you're not ready. Now that, again, looks threatening. But it isn't the point. It's made more clear in Luke's version of this same gospel, where he says, in fact, the Lord at his return will put on an apron, kneel down, and wait on you. So this one who breaks into your life is not bad, but the breaking in is actually good. But I know we don't hear it that way. That's why we're supposed to preach on these gospels, to unpackage them. So you see, there's the obvious level, and then there's the spiritual level. But frankly, it takes some time to pray over the text, to compare it to the other texts, and to finally come together with a coherent message. And that's what we preachers hope to do, is to inspire you, and I know Catholics don't do this very well, or very much, to study the scriptures for your own. And so you don't have to depend on my interpretation, but you can recognize, oh yeah, what he's saying might well be true. So here's, I think, the point for the individual. God gets into your life best in the interruptions, in the discontinuities, in the unexpected, in the gaps, when you're not ready. I've met, honestly, this will probably disappoint some of you, I've met very few people in my whole life who've had their God experience in church. Very few. Hardly ever happens here. All this does is we hopefully stir the pot. When it happens is when you're walking down the street, unexpecting, and the veil parts. For a moment, it makes sense. God best gets in, not during business as usual, but God has to break in like a thief, like a burglar, to steal your soul. I did a conference a few years ago, and we called the spiritual journey the divine ambush. God has to ambush you when you're not prepared, when you're not expected, when you're not defended, when you're not all in your head. Usually, to be honest, it's when you're in the presence of silence, in the presence of love, or in the presence of suffering. Those are the biggies. That's when it happens. Church, frankly, is too busy, and I'm making it too verbal, and you're all thinking whether you agree with me or whether you like what I'm saying or what are you going to cook for breakfast. Your mind is in 100 places, and mine is too. Huh? But that's not when God can break in. God has to break in like a thief in the night. When you're unexpected, when you're not in charge, when you're not steering the ship, but somehow God has to catch you in a moment of freedom where you're free from your own ego, free from your own fears, free from your own anger, free from your own self. So you must be prepared. Be ready. Be expectant for God quite simply to come out of nowhere. That's how God best comes into your life. Not when you're steering the ship, but in fact, in those moments when you've stopped steering the ship, those moments of silence, those moments of great love and appreciation, and those moments of suffering.